the left corner to Aginla. Aginla the left circle. Passing to Yell. A shot. Save made by Aginla. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers.
Okay, happy Wednesday, friends, and we are underway this hour on Flames Talk. It's a Wednesday, June 25th, with Aaron Vickers of NHL.com. My name is Pat Steinberg. As we get this hour underway on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, we're coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio. And, of course, we're live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Busy hour ahead. It is a mailbag Wednesday for the next hour. So start getting your questions in at 960-960. Hello, Vix.
A lot of energy, a lot of edge in the room today, hey?
Lots of edge in the room, no doubt about it. But that usually makes for a good show.
We'll find out.
Thanks for being along with us. I thought, hey, Thursday's show, we're going to have lots of content from the Scotiabank Saddledome the day before the draft, and Friday's draft day, Saturday's draft day. We'll have one day of regular programming in between, then Tuesday's a stat and free agency coverage, which we'll have for you right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. So this Wednesday is the last time that we can do a mailbag before we hit some of the really key dates of the summer. Draft day, and then a few days later, free agency opening. So get your texts in at 960-960. We're now less than 1 week away from the opening of free agency. That's on Tuesday of next week, and we're now a couple days away from draft weekend. So get your texts in if you want to talk about potential draft pick targets at 18 and 32 or moving up or different trades, Rasmus Anderson, free agent targets, a whole lot more. Let's get into it for the next hour, my friends. Get your texts in at 960-960, and we'll get to as many of them as we possibly can in the next hour. And I imagine this one's going to be pretty busy because of the time of year. Are you ready to go?
As ready as I'm ever going to be.
Thanks to Logo for helping us prime the text line in the hour before we started as well. So we have a few ready to go. So let's get to it. We got a few in there already at 960, 960. And if you're listening live, keep firing them through and we'll get to as many of them as we can. Let's start with this. And look, I think that the biggest topic that we're going to get is going to be about Rasmus Anderson and his future. So might as well start with the Rasmus Anderson one. This says, this would be a draft day trade, guys, but what about number 18, Rasmus Anderson, and either number 32 or a second rounder to try and get you into that 10 to 12 range if a center slips that you really like? That comes from Kevin at 960-960. I don't think it's out of the question that you could move into that 10 to 12 range. I really don't. With your number 18 pick and something plus plus, I just don't know if Rasmus Anderson is the chip that you would be using to move into that spot. It feels like, and I'm not saying this is a rule, but it feels like the Rasmus Anderson trade would be kind of separate from a move up trade, unless it's a very specific one. But like if you're doing a trade like that, kind of in the heat of the first round, Vix, and you know you're sitting there and your center is still available at, say, number 11, and you really want player X, I don't know if dangling Rasmus at that time is the way that you're going to move up. You're probably dangling number 18, number 32, and a third round pick or something like that to try to move in there. Would kind of be my read on the situation. And yet, saying all that, Kevin, I do think that there's more of a chance in 2025 that the Flames maybe could move six or seven spots up to try to snag a guy they really, really want.
From my perspective, if I'm in the chair, I would probably try to keep Rasmus Anderson separate from any sort of move-up deal. In my mind, and just seeing what other defensemen have gone for in the past, and even from a Flames perspective, what you've been able to move out a guy with and get in return, my ask for Rasmus Anderson would start with a first-round pick. It would start with somebody that maybe is ready to contribute at the NHL level now and see what happens. So if you're in a situation where you're moving 18 Anderson and if you have to the 32, from my perspective, you're moving three first round picks to advance seven spots in the draft. That's not good asset management from my perspective. Right. So I wouldn't necessarily be of the mind to try to package Rasmus Anderson and that 18 to make something happen. I also do wonder if in terms of a trade-up scenario, because there's so many different teams. I think there's six or seven different teams that have multiple first-round picks now that Pittsburgh has that number 12 spot as well, via Vancouver, via New York. I just see so many different teams with multiple firsts that suddenly I think the ask from a team like Anaheim at 10 or Buffalo at 9, if you're trying to get into that situation, or even Detroit at 13, becomes that much more expensive because you're more likely to see multiple suitors trying to package first-rounders together to advance up.
Okay, this reads, guys, do you think if a team contacted the Flames about a Nazem Kadri trade, they would even entertain it or talk to Naz about waiving? I doubt they shop him considering the current soft rebuild plan, but feel like it is such an ideal seller's market right now that they could get a haul. Here is my answer to that. If somebody came to the table with a truly viable, legitimate offer for Nazem Kadri, I think the Flames would entertain it. And I think if it came from a team that the Flames thought Naz would really want to go to, like, let's just, for instance, the Colorado Avalanche, since winning the Stanley Cup with Nazem Kadri, have done jack squat. They have done very little since that, and they have not even sniffed a second straight cup. They've been looking for a
second line center for the longest time.
Since losing Nazem Kadri, pretty much.
They've auditioned several players through.
So I just use them as an example. Like, if all of a sudden Colorado came calling and had a legit offer on the table for Nazem Kadri, my belief is Craig Conroy would take that to Naz and say, hey, would you be interested in doing this? But if the Buffalo Sabres came to the Flames and had a legit offer, I don't know if it would be the same, because I think Craig Conroy and the Flames know enough about Naz that he's only going, like, he likes it here. He wants to be here. He likes the responsibility that he has. He likes the role that he has. He likes being a leader. He likes how the city's embraced him. I don't think Nazem Kadri wants out of Calgary, and I think that this season, with how good he was, new career high in goals with 35, how much he has for two straight seasons been a massive part of bringing young players along, how every single night number 91 is your tone setter and the emotional leader of this team in so many different ways, I don't think that he is looking to get out of here at any cost. But if somebody who's truly knocking on the door to winning a Stanley Cup in the next 2 or 3 years comes calling, then I think that he would entertain it himself, and I think that the Flames would bring that to him. So I think situationally, the answer to that question is yes.
I agree. First of all, you have to make sure from an organizational standpoint, as you mentioned, it is a destination that he'd want to go. And at this stage, I have to think that winning would be the top priority. He'll be 35 by the time puck drops next season, depending on how the schedule works out. He's an October 6th birthday, so who knows exactly how it's going to play out on that front. But it has to be a destination. You know he'd be willing to go. And the return for me would have to be a little bit of an over-ask for what you're trying to do. Right now, as you mentioned, you said he scored 35 goals. I'm like, what? I'm like, I knew he set a career high. Didn't know he actually got to the number 35.
Yeah, he hit 35 with the two-goal effort against LA.
Which is a massive number. And he's your de facto number one center. For me, over the course of the last three seasons, he's been their best forward. And so if you're removing that from your lineup while still trying to adhere to the plan that you have set forward, which is get younger, but at the same time still be competitive and still have those veterans that help lead the way. Nazem Kadri is certainly one of those guys. You would have to, for lack of a better term, bring it in terms of your offer. I don't think this is a situation at all where it's like, oh, if we could just unload Nazem Kadri's salary, we'd be happy. It's not that at all.
No, I don't think that. And as the text said, they're not shopping Nazem Kadri. It would have to be somebody coming to them with, hey, we really want Nazem. We need Nazem Kadri.
He's the guy that's going to put us over the top for our cup chance.
And that's why I think of Colorado, because, you know, they haven't been the same since he left. Just a thought.
Not to make this Colorado talk, but they did just sign Brock Nelson to that three-year extension.
And maybe Colorado's not the right spot.
But maybe there's a way to finesse that. But I do believe Colorado would be one of those comfort spots.
This says, will we see Miramanov moved this summer? He's been a complete bust from the Hanifin trade, and there's no room for him on this blue line. Could the Flames even get a seventh-round pick back? Yeah, I think there's a possibility that Miromanov is moved at some point here this summer. I don't think it's a priority for the Flames at by any stretch of the imagination, but wouldn't surprise me because I think they were pretty close to moving him at the deadline. I think whether something was agreed upon and didn't come through or they were close, I do think that there was something close right around the trade deadline with Miromanov. So obviously didn't happen, and he remains with the team. But it wouldn't shock me if we saw him moved off of, just because it really hasn't... Has he been a bust? I don't know if that's fair, but has he been what they were hoping for? No. Has he been an NHL regular? No.
He was a dice roll, to be perfectly honest. He was a guy that produced at a very impressive clip at the American Hockey League level that at the time they acquired him was still, he was back playing, but was still in that wheelhouse of recovering from knee surgery in the summer of 2023, if I'm not mistaken. Just so happens, sometimes you take a gamble and it works. Sometimes you roll the dice, it doesn't work. For me, from my perspective, it hasn't worked. And if they found a potential partner on a trade to move him to another team, I think that would be a very viable route for him.
This is a hard one. It's going to put our brains to the test. But Derek writes in, says, what is your guys' best idea for a Byram Paterka deal?
Oh,
I don't
know. More than I'd be willing to spend.
Well, I don't know if, honestly, like, do the Flames have what it takes without moving their untouchables? Like, we
just talked Kadri, and if Buffalo is not
I think it was Logo and I who went through our, like, who are the Flames untouchables? And I had, I mean, it was Parekh, it was
Wolf.
I think I had...
Coronado in there or no?
I think I don't think Coronado was, like, in the full-on untouchable, like, but, you know... Probably not going to move that guy. Like, and you would have to have at least one of those guys in there to make a deal for Byram and Paterka.
And if I'm putting myself in Buffalo's shoes, I don't want futures.
Right?
I don't want first round picks. I don't want prospects that are 1, 2, 3 years away from having an impact. I want guys that come into my lineup immediately. So my first thought goes to, and again, not shopping him, not trying to bring his name up in every sort of trade scenario we have, but I could see Kadri being a player Buffalo would covet. I don't necessarily know if there's a fit from Kadri's camp to facilitate that to make it happen. I don't know necessarily what my desire is on that front as well, but I just like trying to conceive a package that could get you Paterka, who I'm a massive fan of.
I'm a big fan of too.
And Bowen Byram, who would immediately be a top pair defenseman for your team. That's a lot of assets going the other way.
Like, it would probably have to be similar to the Carolina deal from 2018. But the problem with that is
you don't have Dougie Hamilton.
Who's Dougie Hamilton on this team? Like, Dougie Hamilton was a mid-20s top pair defenseman.
Right shot defenseman.
And with no knock on Uyghur, which, by the way, Weegs on the morning show on the big show on Wednesday, some great stuff, about 25 minutes with Weegs and the boys this morning. I encourage you to go listen to it on the big show podcast feed. But, like, Uyghur's 31 years old. Like, that's not the type of... A, I don't think the Flames are wanting to move off of Uyghur, A. But
right.
B, like, that's not the guy that I think Buffalo's after either. So, like, to swing Paterka and Byram, you're probably going to have to give up Coronado and another one of your guys that would be pretty close to untouchable.
To be honest, both from the acquiring team perspective and the Buffalo perspective, I feel if the Sabres were to move them in separate deals, they're going to be able to maximize their return that way. And I can't imagine, like, maybe a handful of teams would have the assets that both satisfy the win now for Buffalo, but not being post apex in terms of age as well. It'd be a tough ask from an acquiring team perspective to be like, hey, what package can you put together for both of these guys, both these budding young stars that we have, that one's flirts with 30 goals and another one that can play top pair minutes.
Okay, this one from Kenny in Fort Mac. It's a little bit of a two-pronger. Pat and Aaron, if the Flames are working on trading Rasmus Anderson, are they possibly targeting RFAs like Marco Rossi, JJ Paterka, or picks and prospects? Also, what's Sam Hanzek's future with the Flames? Let's answer the first one on Anderson. Could they be targeting potential RFAs? Sure. Like, could Anderson be a good fit on a Minnesota team, for instance, that is looking to get over the hump and almost you know, almost choked away a playoff spot to Calgary this year. Yeah, could I see them being interested in a player like Anderson? Sure. And could Marco Rossi be a guy they get back in a trade? Like, I could see that being the case. And I could even see, because right now, on the right side for Minnesota, they've got Faber and Spurgeon, but Spurgeon's starting to get a little bit more up there in age. So maybe you're looking for another right side D to be kind of your number two right side behind behind Faber. Spurgeon's still a hell of a player.
Yep.
But I mean, if they were to go Faber, Spurgeon, Anderson down the right side,
that'd be one of, if not the best right sides in the NHL. Well,
think about their, like, the left side, Middleton, Brodin, and Zeev. Like, you've got Zeev Bouillon, one of the two or three best defense prospects going.
Yep.
You've got Jonas Brodin, one of the best shutdown defensemen on the planet. And Jacob Middleton,
one of the biggest beauties
role.
In the NHL too, Jacob Middleton.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Faber, Spurgeon, Anderson on the right side. That could be, and I could see Rasmus being okay being traded to Minnesota and maybe be open to re-signing there. As for Buffalo, I'm a little less. He's got six teams that he could say no to. I don't know who's on them, but wouldn't shock me if Buffalo is one of them. And I would say next to zero chance that Raz would re-sign in Buffalo. So I think it's situational. But I do. Here is what I do know for a fact. I'm quite confident in this with all the conversations I've had and any intel that I've been able to dig up. Players like Marco Rossi and young NHL-ready players are absolutely guys that the Flames are looking for in a Rasmus Anderson trade. And so it doesn't have to be a first, a second, and a prospect for Rasmus Anderson. If it was Marco Rossi plus to bring in Rasmus Anderson, I think that trade would satisfy the Flames, you know, if the plus was enough.
If you're able to just immediately add a player that's age 22 to 26 that fits a need that you have organizationally, that is a massive piece to be getting back. Again, like, hypothetically, say the best piece on the table outside of NHL-ready players or guys that are actually have proven track records in the NHL, a first-round pick. Well, the team acquiring Rasmus Anderson is probably a team that's looking to add a defenseman to put them in a better position to win. So suddenly you're looking at a first-round pick being the most attractive feature coming back, and that's going to be a pick in the, you know, 18 to 32 range.
Yep.
That pick isn't going to help you in for at least the next 2 years. Like, that's just going to be the track record. And there are players that have proven that wrong. There have been second rounders that have made the jump immediately, but that's the exception, not the rule. So by doing the first round pick as opposed to a guy that's ready to jump into your lineup immediately, you're not going to reap the benefits of that asset for 2 to 3 years.
Also, Kenny asked, what's Sam Honzek's future with the Flames? I mean, I think the future is the future. Like, he's still a part of the conversation. He's still a guy they hope turns in to a full-time NHLer. And as I've said, I am not ready to call this guy a bust because there are too many players like Sam Honzek over the last decade or so in the NHL that have taken longer. Like, guys with his frame and
his raw talent,
his raw ability that maybe isn't as refined or polished, that find it a little bit later on. Like, if all of a sudden the guy that I keep going back to is Couturier, if Honzek turned into a winger version or even better, a center ice version of Sean Couturier, like, I think you're thrilled with the 16th overall pick or whatever it was. And Couturier took a long time. People were talking about Couturier as a bust, and then all of a sudden he turned into, before the injuries really started to catch up to him, he turned into a guy who was in the Selke Trophy conversation every single year for 4 or 5 years. So I'm not ready to, I think of, and I'm not saying the high end are going to, but how long did it take for Tage Thompson to become something? That guy was like in St. Louis. I'm like, what is this? Why did we draft this guy? He's a 50-goal guy in Buffalo now. And I'm not saying Honzek's going to be a 50-goal guy. All I'm saying is that raw skill and size like Honzek has sometimes takes a little bit longer to polish, and it takes a little bit longer to know exactly what you have. So that would be what my answer would be in terms of the future for Sam Honzek. I think it's still being determined, and by no means do I think the Flames should be cutting bait less than 2 years removed from drafting him.
Well, he's still 20 years old. He's got 1 year of pro experience under his belt in North America. He wasn't a guy that, at least from my perspective, was drafted and was going to be in the lineup for the Calgary Flames within 2 years. Now, he blew the doors off of camp and did get some NHL experience and then sort of faded. And that's going to be the battle, is it's one, refining that raw skill, two, bringing that consistency, and then being able to apply your size to your game on a more consistent basis. He was never going to be a guy that was like Matthew Tkachuk, who, oh, you drafted him. Okay, he's big. Oh, okay, so he looks like he has some size and some skill. Let's put him in an NHL lineup. For me, he's a slow burn kind of guy.
Tiemann says, what is the likelihood the Flames can package two first plus to move into the top 10? Would it be only if someone slips? Well, I do think it would be if someone, I don't even know if it was someone that slips, but someone that the Flames have very high on their list is still available with what they believe is an attainable pick in the top 10 and a team that would be willing to move off of it. That's how they would go down that road, I think. Do I think it's likely? No. But do I think it is more likely than it would have been in prior years? Yes. I still am not anticipating a move into the top 10 or the top 5, but I don't think it's not as much of a non-starter as it has been in other years where I just say, guys, it doesn't happen. Like what Morreale gave us, that great stat with how many top 10 picks have been moved over the last, like leading up to the draft and the day or two leading up to the draft in the last, it was a single digit number. I think it was 8 in the last like 15 years or something like that.
It was certainly not double digits.
No, it's very rare. It's even more rare inside the top 5. Out of the question, no. Also likely, no.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it. And again, there are several sort of aspects or elements or angles you can take a look at this. One is the number of teams that have multiple picks, as previously mentioned. Two is, if you're a team with a top 10 pick and your ledges are built as such that after 12, you see a significant drop-off, how eager or excited are you going to be to move number 10, for example, for 18 and 32 with the thought or the understanding or the expectation that this draft, once you get past that first initial burst, takes a little bit of a nosedive?
This says, guys, do you have a scouting report on Tanner Lamb? Tanner Lamb, draft eligible. He is a member of the Kitchener Rangers in the Ontario League. As in his 17-year-old season, had 53 points in 67 games this year. So, you know, that tracks for him to turn into a point per game plus guy as an 18-year-old this coming year. Right shot, right winger. That's the extent of my knowledge on Tanner Lamb. I can read Hockey DB.
Attaboy. We've got him listed
you,
at number...
You over at FC Hockey would have an actual scouting report.
We have him at 138. I personally didn't see him this year. In terms of Kitchener, I was more focused on Cameron Reed, if I'm being perfectly honest. But this guy has some of the best hands in the draft. And that's kind of where everything else falls off. And if you go watch a highlight pack of him, you're going to see him absolutely dangle and make some defenders look silly. But
I will say, and this is always a lofty comparison, but I've heard some people say he's got a little Johnny in him. Similar size. He's 5'9", 154, similar dangles, similar dynamicism. Again, I haven't seen with my own eyes. I'm just knowing that I've read that a few times in the last few weeks leading up to this year's draft.
And here's where the differences are. He has the hands, but he's not a play driving passer. His playmaking is sort of, it's there, but not there. It's inconsistent. It's not to the level that his stick handling ability is. Offensive awareness and defensive awareness are all kind of just meh. His ability to fight through checks is meh. So he's a guy that, for a reason, is in the 100s in our ranking and is probably going to be a third, fourth, fifth rounder if he gets selected. But you're always looking for, once you get to that round, and even in the second round, to be perfectly honest, you're looking for the one trait that makes this guy elite and gives you one reason to believe that this guy could make it. It's his puck handling ability or his stick handling ability. It's just there's not a whole lot that goes around with it right now. Right. But again, hey, if you're ranked in the 100s and you have an elite trait, you're doing a lot better than a lot of the other guys in the draft class.
This says, guys, what about Dan Vladar signing in Edmonton? And it does feel like the chance, you know, my understanding right now is that the door is not completely closed on Vladar coming back, but the Flames are very prepared to go in another direction because we're 6 days away from free agency. And
right.
Vladar, look, I know for a fact the Flames have put multiple offers on the table for Vladar. I know that there have been offers that have been in the multi-year and offers that have given him a raise on the $2.2 million AAV he's on right now. None of the contracts that have been put on the table have been accepted by Vladar and his camp, which is fully their right. And all along, the one thing that we continue to talk about when it came to Dan and his future with the Flames was playing time. And would there be an opportunity elsewhere that could potentially give him more playing time? I don't know if Edmonton is the place that I look. And look, I don't want to get too into the weeds on the Oilers, but you know, they've been to two Stanley Cup finals in a row. They've fallen a combined three wins short of winning two Stanley Cups here with Skinner and Pickard. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't go and look to upgrade that position, but I don't know if signing Vladar, by the way, both Pickard and Skinner are under contract for next season for one more year, but I don't know if Vladar is a big enough upgrade on either of them for the Oilers to go down that road.
If I'm Edmonton,
just cleared a bunch of salary space
right.
with Evander Kane today. So I still feel like if they're going to go the goaltending road, it's going to be Gibson. It's going to be somebody like that as opposed
right.
to signing a guy who's not a number one right now.
If I'm, again, playing GM of the Edmonton Oilers, I want more of a known quantity to come in and be my undisputed number one goalie. If that's Gibson, if that's finding another goalie on the trade market, it feels like that's more the route as opposed to signing Vladar, who had a great stretch post Four Nations. Can't take anything away from him and would be my number one fit to come back and form a tandem with Dustin Wolf. I just don't know if he's proven enough for the Edmonton Oilers to go out and
right.
sign him to a deal and feel comfortable being, this is the goalie that wins us the Stanley Cup.
One more before we pause. Francesca says, which Flames forward prospect would be the best candidate to include in a trade package this summer without completely destroying their depth at that position?
Well, certainly not a center because they don't have one.
I mean, any of their left shot guys, honestly. I mean, because... And I mean, he just signed a 7-year extension, so I don't think Coronado's a prospect anymore.
No, he's graduated for my money.
I think that he's probably a full-time NHLer right now. But I mean, I think about the forwards they've added to the coffers over the last couple of years that would be of the prospect variety. Most of them are left shots. So I think if we go back to the last two drafts, Hanzek, Suniev, Basha, Gridden, all these guys left shots. Battaglia, left shot. So because of that, I think if you were to put any one of those young forwards in a package for something, I don't think you're messing with your depth all that much because you don't have the center right now. And you don't have a lot of right shots right now in the system. Like, who are your right shot young forwards? Matt Coronado.
Adam Klapka doesn't even count.
I mean, Klapka.
To me, he's at 24, though, so he's teetering. He has doesn't have enough games played to kind of graduate him, but at the same time, for me, he's graduated off the prospect list to being an actual sort of pro, so he doesn't qualify for me in that sense, but... Yeah, you're not looking overly blessed in the right shot category.
Yeah. Keep them coming. Text 960-960. We've got a bunch still to get to, and you still have time. If you're listening live, get your Flames Talk mailbag questions in right now. Last opportunity to do a mailbag before the draft and before free agency, so get them in at 960-960. More as we continue with Steinberg and Vickers. Can't find the latest episodes of your favorite HGTV, Discovery, and Food Network shows? Rogers Xfinity TV has the newest seasons of the top-rated shows on these popular channels, while other providers are no longer including them in their TV lineup. If your TV provider doesn't carry these channels, you're missing out on new seasons of Celebrity IOU, Hometown, Beat Bobby Flay, Expedition X, and more. Don't be fooled by other channels pretending to be these networks you know and love. Get the latest with Rogers Xfinity TV at Rogers.com.
Talk talking your team right now. Flames Talk is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, let's just keep it going. Mailbag 960 960. We'll get a little bit more rapid fire with some of the questions that we have in the queue. Steinberg and Vickers on this Wednesday edition of Flame Talk. Thanks for all your questions so far, and let's keep them going. This says, from Neil in Okotoks, does Rasmus have any form of no trade in his contract? Yes, he does. He's got a modified no trade clause. He's got a 6-team no trade list. So he's got a list of 6 teams that he will say, I won't go to. So let's just assume that that's Edmonton. Actually, I don't know who's on his no trade list. You know, wouldn't surprise me if a team like Buffalo's on that list. But that's the scenario.
It would be interesting to just crack open that book and see who are the 6 no-goes. Maybe I'll ask him. See what he tells me. Actually, I'll get Wes to ask him.
You could have asked him at the Worlds and you didn't.
Missed opportunity. Hypothetically, who are your 6 no-goes? Actually, you know what? I had enough off-the-record conversations. I probably could have squeezed that one out. Could have used my Wes Gilbertson proxy to see if I can weasel out some information.
This says, will we see a Jonathan Huberdeau trade? I don't think so.
No, I would bet against seeing one.
Yeah. Dustin in Drumheller says, Huberdeau and a pick for Paterka and Rasmus for Byram. Don't know if that's going to get the job done.
That's the old Mikael Granlund.
When you asked him about his brother.
That was actually Wes.
Was it Wes who asked
that
him?
That was a Wes Gilbertson story. The story is
Wes asked Mikael Granlund about then Flames prospect Marcus Granlund. Asked him, hey, what do you think about your brother? Is he going to be an NHL? Not sure about Marcus. Oh, okay.
Proved big brother wrong, though, at least momentarily.
Yeah. What else we got here at 960, 960? Adam in Saskatoon. Pat and Aaron, how do you feel about J.J. Paterka? Would he fit on the roster and at what cost? Also, thanks for the Paris tips. You're welcome, Adam. That's right. I talked to Adam on Instagram, gave him some tips on some spots to go in the French capital. But as for Paterka, it seems less likely that he'd be a guy the Flames could get. Like Rossi feels... And also, like, I like Paterka, don't get me wrong, but do they need him?
Well, exactly. It's what need do you fill? Now, he would seamlessly, in my opinion, be a top 6 guy. I mean, he did score 28 two seasons ago, 27 this past season, and 5 fewer games. Like, he would play in my top 6 all day. So, in his, well, what need does he fill? Well, he can score goals on a team that's devoid of it. I just... Again, player in, player out, what's Buffalo looking for? I don't necessarily believe that Calgary has in spades what Buffalo needs in terms of an immediate impact return on J.J. Paterka.
This from Brett. Funny, you guys already have Rasmus traded out of town. I wouldn't bet on him being traded before or even at the draft. Way smarter to hold on to him until next year's deadline. I don't know if I am fully on board with that, Brett, for a few different reasons. Now, does it have to be done in the next 2 or 3 days? No, by no means do I feel like that needs to happen. But I think ideally, Francis wrote about this over at sportsnet.ca on this Wednesday. And I'm kind of Francis's belief is needs to happen in the next few days. I'm kind of like has to happen this summer. Does it have to happen before the draft is over? No. Does it even have to happen before free agency opens? No. But I think if you're the Flames, based on what happened with Noah Hanifin a couple of years ago, based on the distraction, based on everything, I think it would be in Calgary's best interest to trade Rasmus Anderson this summer.
And I'm of the similar thinking, except for the fact that I would be more comfortable going into the season with him than perhaps others would. Just because I don't see this as a divorce. I don't see this as a breakup. I see this as two parties that are very cognizant of the desire of the other. And I from a distraction standpoint, I wouldn't see it becoming as tumultuous as we saw maybe other players here. But then you run the risk of okay, if he has another down season, then that'll diminish his value somewhat. He still would be one of, if not the premier right shot defenseman on the market. But then you run into the, what if he gets hurt? And then you run into the situation, as you mentioned, with Hanifin, where he goes, well, you know what? Here's the only team I'd be willing to sign an extension with. And then trying to sort of strong arm or pick his destination a little bit more once you get into February, March of next season.
This one from Andre. Everyone's talking about the Flames moving up. What are the chances they move down? I could absolutely see that being the case, especially this year. You know, you've talked enough about it. Some of the other draft experts we brought on have talked about it. Like, once you get past a certain point, it's kind of like there's this massive swath of players that you're like, yeah, number 16 on one list could be number 42 on another list. And so because of that, you know, if you're Todd Button and you're Craig Conroy and you're reading the situation and tracking as it goes, you're like, hey, we think we can get this guy in three picks. And, you know, Team Y really wants to move it. Let's make the move. That's what happened when they drafted Zeri. The Flames bet on Zeri still being there, not once, but twice, moved down twice, and still got their guy with that pick.
Well, and I'm not saying that at FC Hockey we're the end-all be-all with our draft rankings, but between 17 and 29, at least listed centers, you've got Reschny, Kindle, McKinney, Coots, Carter Bear, Jack Nesbitt, Will Horkoff. So if you're at 17, and I'm not saying all those guys will be, or sorry, at 18, I'm not saying all those guys will be available at 18. If you've got two or three or four, you can probably confidently move back five or six spots if you have them tiered in the same grouping and be comfortable that you're still going to get one of the centers that you want.
Gabe says, do you think the Blues would take Anderson and number 32 overall for Jordan Kyrou? And if they would you do it? I mean, yes, I would do that. All day.
I'm a big Jordan Kyrou guy.
I don't think St. Louis would. Honestly, not in the slightest, because I don't think St. Louis is looking to trade away. Like, St. Louis wants to get better. St. Louis looks at what they did, the way Binnington played after the Four Nations, the run they went on in the last, basically the run that did in Calgary's chance to make in the playoffs. St. Louis looks at that as like, hey, we think that we can be a competitive team next year. And thus, I don't think they've got two key forwards, and one of them is Jordan Kyrou. Do I think they'd be interested in Anderson? Maybe. Do I think that they would trade away Kyrou to do it? No, I don't.
You mean they wouldn't move a 27-year-old 36-goal scorer?
The guys hit 70 points in three of the last four seasons.
And the other season he didn't.
He was 3 points off of it.
Yeah. He'd be at the top of my chart all day. But from that perspective, with where St. Louis is, why would you move on from him?
And also, like, I don't know if, again, it would be kind of similar to the St. Louis conversation. I think Anderson would be a nice fit on the right side. They've got Parayko, Falk, and Letty down there right now on the right side. Anderson, I think, would be an update on both Falk and Letty. Have him behind Parayko as your number two, or maybe ahead of Parayko, depending on how you look at it. I think that Raz would be a great fit on a team like St. Louis. I just don't know if they'd be willing to give up Kyrou to get it done. That's
right.
This reads, I don't, from Tim in Saskatoon, or Tim in Saskatchewan, rather. I don't think Michael Misa's a realistic option, but if the Flames can move up, I'd love to see them take Roger McQueen. This kid's a stud, and I believe he's a center. What are your thoughts? That's Tim and Moose Jaw. Yeah, look, this year's draft, I think, is the type of draft, and this comes from the non-draft expert and the person who would never tell you he's a draft expert, and I'm standing across from a guy that I do consider a draft expert, and that would be Mr. Vickers. But, like, this feels like, Vicks, the type of draft year that you might be a little bit more willing to take the risks.
Yeah.
And because like, the sure things aren't projecting to be high-end players, it's guys like Ryabkin, McQueen. That's why the Mason West is intriguing so many people. Even, and I'm not saying the Flames would take Haggins, but, like, you know, Higgins has fallen down to like the 5-6 range for a lot of people. And if I'm a team that really needs a center, I think Higgins is a guy that I'd be willing to quote unquote overshoot for based on some of the other rankings. I just feel like this is the type of draft that if there's ever a time to maybe take a flyer on somebody, this might be it. And so in saying that, if the Flames had to move up to 9 to take Roger McQueen, even though a lot of other people feel like he might go number 14, then that this would be the kind of year to do it.
Yeah, you're not wrong in that sense. I look at things and I've kind of seen McQueen's stock, if you will, or at least the chatter around him rebound a little bit over the course of the last week or two, maybe from the combine where he did participate fully in all of the testing. There are 7 or 8 guys that I absolutely wouldn't take ahead of him in this draft. And then I can kind of see the lottery element of what McQueen is coming into play in that, okay, if everything goes according to plan and he hits, he's going to probably be, to be perfectly honest, has a chance to be better than at least a couple of those 7 or 8 guys that I'm no chance taking McQueen ahead of. I have too many, even parking the injury stuff to the side, I still have too many questions about McQueen to maybe take him in my top 10. And some of them are somewhat injury adjacent, perhaps. And I'll try to quickly explain it is, okay, he's hurt. Okay, how does that impact his training? How does that impact his ability to bring up his fitness level? So when I look at his skating, for example, and the fact that he doesn't stop on pucks and that he curls around a lot, are those because of the injury and wasn't able to train properly, or is that an actual flaw in his skating that you need to correct? There are too many questions around him. And the other one for me, too, is, again, injury adjacent. I might see him more as a Rick Nash-type impact winger than I do as a center. So all of those things are elements that I would have to consider that are not quite injury related in terms of the back, but injury adjacent that would make me hesitant to take him in the top 8 or 9.
Just a couple of other questions. Speaking of adjacent to that same question. This says, where was it? Any chance McQueen, this is from Kevin, any chance McQueen drops to Calgary? Or perhaps could they trade up a bit if he falls past 10? And then this says, where'd the other one go? Paul in Coventry says, is the Colorado second rounder the Flames own enough to move up to 14 from 18 if McQueen slips? How far can they move up from 32 if packaged with that same Colorado second? The Flames need quality over quantity. I think the Colorado second and Calgary's third are nice chips to potentially move up. And I do agree, especially after taking 10 in last year's draft.
Right.
This might be a quality year. So do I think the Colorado second might be able to get you 4 picks? Maybe. Like from 18 to 14?
I would think it would have to be the 32.
I feel like that might be more realistic. Like 18 and 32 to move up 4, I could see that being a little bit more realistic. However, the Colorado second to move up from 32 to 29, I could see that. Or maybe even their own third to move up from 32 to 27 or something like that. That could be of note as well.
Yeah, those ones I see being more realistic. I'll touch on McQueen really quickly again. I don't see a scenario whatsoever where he's available at 18.
McQueen?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you'd have to trade.
Too much. There is risk reward, and he is the biggest wild card in the first round of the draft. I just can't see a team in the teens prior to 18 going, nah, you know what? Not worth the risk at this point. We're going to take player Y instead.
This says, fate of the universe on the line. You have to pick whether or not the Flames make a cup final by 2030. Basically, based on their current plan, do you believe this team has any chance of seriously contending, being led by a core of Kadri, Huberdeau, and Uyghur?
That's only 5 years.
Yes. A couple things. I need a couple years to see what Parekh's going to be. I need to see over the next 1 to 18 months what type of centers the Flames are able to bring into the organization. And that, to me, like Kadri, Huberdeau, Uyghur, that core, I think more important, not saying those guys won't be important pieces, but more important, it's the core of Parekh,
Coronado,
Gritton,
Wolf.
Maybe it's Basha, maybe it's Pataglia, maybe it's Hanzek, maybe it's somebody else taken in this year's draft.
Even Zary and Frost, to be perfectly honest.
Yep. Those guys, a little bit more important to me. So that's why I'll say this. If Parekh doesn't hit the way we're all hoping he does, and if they don't find the center, my answer to that question would be no.
Well, the simple answer is only five teams are going to do it between now and that deadline. And so I'm just going to unfortunately give it the no, because the odds are in my favor if I say no as opposed to yes. Only five teams are going to eat up those spots.
This says trade Rasmus to Vegas for Nick Hag and find a way to pull Rossi out of Minnesota. I don't know if Rasmus Andersson and the Vegas Golden Knights make much sense at all. And that's not to say that they wouldn't be interested, but I think Vegas has more pressing needs to get back to where they want to go than another right side D. I do think Nick Hag is a very interesting target for the Flames.
Yep.
In fact, I think if you were to say right now, your number one trade target for the Flames, Nick Hag might be it, because I think Vegas is going to need to clear salary space, especially if they're going to make a splash for a Tavares or a Marner or somebody else like that, which I think there's a very good chance they will. Hag seems to be the odd man out type of guy. Problem is Shea Theodore, Alex Petrangelo, Zach Whitecloud are your right side D. I don't know where Raz fits in Vegas as much as he'd be thrilled to go there.
The only question I would have in this conversation is, what is Petrangelo's health status? Because he's going to be one of those guys that's kind of up in the air a little bit. So I could maybe perhaps understand the question coming in on the text line at 960-960 about Rasmus being a fit there. But I need more clarification on what's happening with Petrangelo.
This reads, any word on a Zeri contract? I mean, I think right now we're talking about, I think both sides are aware that this is going to be a bridge. I think where maybe things are held up a little bit, or where there's a little bit of a roadblock right now would be the number. And I think, you know, I think from the Zeri camp, they might be looking at Matt Coronado's deal and saying, hold on a second. This guy was drafted after our guy and he just got 7 years at 6.5. Where's our payday? And I'm not suggesting that the Zeri camp believes they should also be doing a 7-year extension. In fact, I think they also are of the belief that a bridge is probably best for the long-term earnings. But I do think the biggest roadblock right now would be the number on Zeri. And so, yeah, I don't know, there was a report recently that said they haven't talked in quite a while. I can't confirm or deny that. I do think at some point, though, in the last little while, numbers have been put on the table to Zeri's camp. How much negotiation there's been, I don't know, but I do wonder a little bit about the Coronado factor and just, you know, how much is the Zeri camp saying, well, hold on a second, how close can we get to that number? But my counter would be on that point is Coronado's been healthy. Coronado's already scored 25 in this league and has taken larger strides than Zeri has. And looks at this stage far more of a sure thing to be an impact NHLer than Zeri does. And I'm not suggesting Zeri won't be. I'm just saying Coronado's ahead of Zeri on the pecking order now. And Coronado was the easy choice. There are two easy choices right now for long-term deals. One of them got it in Coronado. The other wears number 32. And so as it stands right now, I don't know if Zeri's there. So I wonder if that's kind of where things are held up a little right now. I think that they'll come to an agreement at some point. It'll probably be a 2-year bridge and see what Zeri does on that 2-year bridge.
Coronado for me, yes, he's younger, but he's a more proven asset. Even scrapping all the injury troubles Zeri had in the American Hockey League, he's still only played about 75% of eligible NHL games since graduating in late October a season ago. You're talking about a player in Zeri that's got 27 goals in 117 games. Matt Coronado had 24 last year. And I'm not suggesting that Connor Zeri needs to be a goal scorer in order for this to work. That's not necessarily going to be his game. But from my perspective, I feel more comfortable projecting what Matt Coronado is versus Connor Zeri. And that's why I think a bridge deal works best for both the team and the player. Because if I'm Connor Zeri, I feel like I'm going to be worth more whatever than whatever the Calgary Flames are going to put forward. So give me the shortest deal possible because I'm going to blow those expectations out the water and then I'm going to make you pay for it later.
And then the question then becomes, is it 2 years at 2.5 or is it 2 years at 4.5? But you know what I'm saying? Like that's that now it's the number that I think is going to be not the sticking point, but the number is the thing that's going to be
negotiating. Yeah, you're not so much negotiating term at this point.
Because there's no way that I don't think the Zary camp, because the Zary camp looking for a 7-year deal, it's like, okay, sure. How about 7 times 4? Well, if you're the Zary camp, you're like, well, cap's going up. That doesn't make any sense. Coronado just did 6.5. Let's wait, see what more leverage we can get. So I think right now it's maybe a little bit on what does that number look like on a bridge deal for Zary. It's a Steinberg and Vickers. Thanks for all of your input on the text line at 960-960. Always love to hear from you. And, hey, good timing for a mailbag because we really won't have time to do this other than doing it on this Wednesday before the draft and before free agency. Okay, our citywide 50-50 continues with two more draws. We got the grand prize draw coming up on Friday, July 4th. Our last early bird prize, the Mountain Getaway, is being given away Friday morning, this Friday. So here's the deal. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, excited with all of our groups here. We're having a little bit of competition with the folks over at the FMs and the news station. We're trying to beat the fundraising goal. We're trying to be the number one fundraiser for the citywide 50-50, all in support of Brown Bagging for Calgary's Kids. By the way, thank you to Brown Bagging for Calgary's Kids for dropping off some treats for us on this Wednesday. So citywide raffle where 50% goes to you, 50% goes to Brown Bagging for Calgary's Kids. For over 30 years, they've been dedicated to ensuring every child in our city has access to the food they need to thrive. They're committed to providing low barrier, dignified access to food, ensuring every child feels cared for and supported by their community. Raffle license number 731-699. Purchase your tickets now, citywide5050.com, or text the word money to 960-960. And the last early bird prize is being given away on Friday. It's a 2-night stay at Buffalo Mountain Lodge or Emerald Lake Lodge, including breakfast, dinner, and Nikiska lift tickets. One more time, text the word money to 960-960 for the link or go direct to citywide5050.com.